Turn with me in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 this morning. Joshua chapter 1, are we all there? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, it shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, that you shall meditate, and you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The title of this message this morning, Four Pillars of Courage. Do you remember the first time in your life that you really needed courage? When I speak of courage, I'm referring to a boldness, or you might call it nerve, or even it's sometimes connected to resolve. And you resolve to do something, but it takes courage. Now, oftentimes, courage requires that you overcome some fear that you have. Now, for me, my earliest fear that I remember was a fear of being up in front of people. And I think that some of that had a little bit to do with the upbringing on a rural ranch and, you know, out in the country, and not much exposure to people. But my first experience with courage, I was about 6 years old, and my mother had enrolled me in piano lessons, just what we all want. Guys 6 years old being, you know, in piano lessons, and that was fine as long as it was just me and the teacher. But that evening came, it was that dreaded evening when I would need courage, when I would need boldness, when I would need, you know, enough courage to overcome my great fear of being in front of people. Of course, it was the dreaded piano recital. And so it was getting close to my turn to get up and do my little piece. And I was watching on the program. My name was coming up. And I looked over at my mommy and I said, Mommy, I quit. Mommy said, Honey, you can't. You can do this. I said, No, Mommy, I quit. And I did quit. I did not get up and I did not do my piano recital. Thus went, you know, a future Mozart, you know, from view of the world. I quit. I believe that fear is oftentimes connected to people. It is connected to circumstances. It is fear over the future. It is fear of the past. It is fear of past failures. I read in one medical journal that fear is the most destructive influence held in our mind. Fear. That may be why most often it's the repeated command of Jesus over and over and over to his disciples in the New Testament. What would he say? Fear not. Fear not. And here are these men with Jesus, with the Son of God, God right there beside them, and yet the Son of God had to continually tell them and command them, fear not. The theme of this passage is courage. Surprisingly, this passage is about Joshua needing courage, because if you've done your Bible study, you remember that it was Joshua who was ready to go in and he was ready to take the land. And now here we are at this place, at this point in time, where Joshua must go in now and take the land. He is now in command. The children of Israel, led by Moses, you remember back, they were paralyzed by fear, which led to disobedience, which led to them missing out on the greatest promise that God had ever given to Israel. What I've discovered, and I'm sure many of you during your lifetime as a believer, is that many of the promises of God, they require us to take a step of faith. Those promises require us to take a step of faith, and many times that step of faith, it requires courage. And Joshua, now in command, Joshua, there must be a certain amount of fear, or the command would not have been given. The four pillars of courage, they come from this passage. Let's examine these four pillars together. The first pillar of courage is the pillar of God's plan. Verse 2, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them. Verse 3, I have given them, I have given you. Verse 4, shall be your territory. Note those words coming from God to Joshua. That was the plan of God. The plan of God was to give land or to give territory to the children of Israel. God first presented that plan, you remember, to Abraham. It was the promised land. Moses would lead them to the promised land, but it was Joshua who finally executed the plan of God and actually possessed the land. You will note that God's plan is being declared here to Joshua. But there was fear. How many of you, at some point in your walk as a believer, have experienced some fear over the plan of God for your life? You say, oh, yeah, I remember. It's the circumstances, it's the people, it's the situation, whatever it might be. There are times when we are given the plan of God, it's like we know what God wants us to do, but we're afraid. We experience fear. What's the problem? Well, you know, yesterday I told Delene that I wanted to go on a hike in the middle of the day. You might think, that's crazy. It was so hot yesterday. It was. But, you know, just every year I try to acclimate myself to the heat, and the way to do that is you got to actually go out and you got to get into it. And so I had planned this cross-country hike. It was my plan. I knew where I wanted to go. I had developed a route. It was kind of a big circle, and I strategically parked the car where I would be able to get back to it. I had my water bottle. I had some tangerines in my pocket, you know, in case I got low on blood sugar, which happens with me sometimes. And so I started out on my hike. It was hot. And about halfway through the hike, I was like, man, I planned my route way too long for this first hike. And I'm going along. I'm looking for shade along the way. And finally, I'm about three quarters of the way around, and I'm trudging along there. And I'll tell you, I was literally, this is what was in my mind. I was remembering those old Western movies that we used to watch where the guy has gone through the desert and he's saying, water, you know, water. And he's crying out for water. And he looks up and there's some buzzards circling overhead. And I kind of looked up and I said, well, do we have any buzzards with us on this hike. But I kept going. And finally, off in the distance, I saw the car. And what a glorious sight when I saw the car through that, you know, through that little bit of vegetation. I saw the white of the car, and I was like, I'm almost there. I can do this. This illustrates a problem that we have. We have a plan, but we are limited by ourselves. We have human limitations. The good news is that when God has a plan, you're only subject to the limitations of God. Now, what are those limitations? There are none. God is unlimited in power. With God, all things are possible. When God has a plan, God can declare the plan, as he did to Joshua, and you can be confident that God's plan, it will not fail. It can't fail. Actually, it can't fail as long as we don't mess it up. In other words, sometimes God's plan requires some obedience on your part. This first pillar of courage is to know that God has a plan. God again revealed his plan to Joshua. Joshua, I'm giving. Joshua, I've given. Joshua, this is your territory. Now, as a Christian, God has a plan for your life. And I'm sure you know that. I pray that you are walking in that plan. And it's the first pillar of courage. Once you become confident that God has a plan, once you are certain that you are walking in that plan, you can absolutely have courage. In fact, I would say that the great fear should be if you are not in the plan of God. If somehow you have gotten away from the plan of God, if you have wandered out, if you have not listened to the voice, you have not listened to the word of God, and you're where you shouldn't be, God wants to bring you back to that plan of his, that great plan. And you say, well, what happens if I fail? The same thing that happened to me when I failed at the piano recital. Look at where I am today. I'm up in front of you. But I'll tell you, along the way, there were many times when I wanted to quit after that first time, and I failed. And I failed more than once. I failed more than twice. But one thing I have found is that when I am faithless, God is still faithful. And he will accomplish his plan in your life if you will surrender it to him, even your fears and even your failures. The land that God promised to Joshua was a land filled with humanly insurmountable obstacles. Here's what I've discovered, is that God's plan isn't all about what God is going to do through you. It's not all about what God will do for you. It's what God wants to do inside of you. Right here. What God wants to do inside of you. I can demonstrate that in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his what? We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Another translation says, for we are God's masterpiece. And yet another translation refers to us as God's handiwork. What that means is that you are a construction project, essentially. You are God's masterpiece. You are his handiwork. I've thought about life in relation to a building project, and I've decided that as far as construction goes, what I would hate to be is a nail. I mean, think about what a nail must go through. You're constantly getting hit on the head before you ever accomplish your purpose. But you know, doesn't it feel that way sometimes as a believer in Christ? It's like, you know, you feel like the nail. It's like, man, I'm getting hit on the head over and over and over in life. And it's during that process that God is accomplishing his great purpose in you. God has a plan for your life. That is the first pillar. And there is pain along the way, but we have courage when we know that we are living and we are walking in the plan of God. That was the first pillar. Number two, the second pillar of courage is the promises of God. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. There's two promises here in verse 5. At this point, we're just going to look at the one. The first promise is that God and with God, we are invincible. With God, we are invincible. You say, well, you know, that was God speaking to Joshua. I only wish God would say those words to me. He has. God has spoken those words to you. The same words, the same concept, the same idea. We get to the New Testament and we recognize that those letters that were written in the New Testament, they are letters not just to the early church, but they were letters to us. God knew when he inspired those words that they would be read by you and I. In fact, God knew we would be reading one this morning. Because in Philippians 4:13, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church, he said, I can do what? All things. What does the word all mean? All. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What that verse is promising you and I is that everything that I need to do to accomplish the plan, to accomplish the will of God, I can do, but not by myself. I cannot do it in my own strength. I am just like that plan I had yesterday. I have human limitations. I can get heat exhaustion. I get tired. I can be sick. I have my own failings. I deal with my flesh, those things, but yet I can do all things through Christ because he's the one that strengthens me and he strengthens you. There are literally hundreds of promises that God gives to us. Written in 1886, Russell Carter, when he was in the military, he wrote to him, Standing on the Promises. Verse 2, he wrote, Standing on the Promises that cannot fail. Verse 4, Standing on the Promises I cannot fail. Standing on the Promises. It was kind of a march, actually. It was meant to be like a military song, you know, Standing on the Promises, you know. And you just march along. You know, you're marching through life, but as you're marching through life, you are standing on God's promises, and you cannot fail. The second pillar of courage, the promises of God. The third pillar of courage, and I especially love this one, is the presence of God. The promises of God, and then the presence of God. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What an amazing passage. You can't go anywhere where God is not with you. God will never send you anywhere where he is not with you. And that's one of the amazing parts of the plan of God, is that whatever plan he gives us, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's there with us the entire time. Back when Sarah was about 8 years old, she came into the room while I was working on the message. It was a Saturday, and she had a toy with her. It was one of those Littlest Pet Shop toys. Do any of you remember what those were? The Littlest Pet Shop craze? Do some of you still have some of those? Yeah. Well, I remember those. And she came in, and you know how they do? They attach the toy to some kind of a little stand. and I think they're parent-proof. I mean, you know, you're trying to get the toy off the stand or off the piece. You're trying to separate it, but it's like, you know, they've got like a chain or something on those things. You just can't get the toy loose. And Sarah, actually, on this particular toy, it was supposed to be on the stand. So they made it extra difficult. And Sarah just looked at me and said, she said, "Daddy, I don't like the way that looks on that stand. Would you please take that off?" And I tried. I got a tool, and I spent like 5 minutes with a little tool trying to get that toy off of that stand. I couldn't do it. And so I finally said to Sarah, I said, "Sarah, honey," I said, "I'm going to use all my strength, and I'm just going to pull this toy off the stand." In my heart, I was praying for a Samson moment. And I was thinking about the great strength of Samson for just that brief moment that he needed. And I thought, I need a Samson moment. And I grabbed the toy, and with all of my might, I pulled. And there was a popping sound, and it came apart. And Sarah, I was amazed at her facial expression. I mean, her eyes got big. And she just looked at me in wonder, and she says, "Daddy, you're the strongest daddy in the whole world." When Jesus was with his disciples, they said to him, they asked him, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "When you pray, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven." That's the beginning. That is the beginning of your relationship, is when you know him for the first time and you understand him as Father. You may have known him in the past, and you may have understood in the past that there was a God. You may have thought, you know, this all couldn't have happened on its own. There must be a God. But you thought of him as this distant being, cold, uncaring. And you may have even had these visions of God, you know, if you make a mistake, you know, he's going to send down a lightning bolt. And you feared him. And you never understood him as Father. But Jesus said, when you pray, he said, you start, he said, it begins like this: Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father. You know, one of the subtle dangers gaining more knowledge as a Christian is that we can lose sight of the simplicity of the relationship that we have through Jesus. We begin to understand eschatology. We've studied hermeneutics. We understand prophecy. We attend seminars, Bible conferences, studies. We grow in our knowledge based upon information that we learn. But that is different than growing in our relationship and our understanding of God as Father. When you begin to understand God as Father, a loving Father, that is life transforming. It transforms your relationship. Because now he is no longer that distant being. He is no longer that cold God that has, you know, so much to take care of. You take it personally. If he's my Father, he loves and he cares for me personally, as any father would. And he absolutely adores it when we worship him and we say, "Man, my daddy is the strongest daddy in the world." Not only is he the strongest daddy in the world, he made the world. We're in the beginning. God created. All powerful. And yet he's there for you as Father. Intimate relationship. And that is the third pillar of courage. It's having God. It's having the presence of God. Not a distant God, but God as Father who loves you and his hand is upon you as you're going through life And he's not, he says right here, he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll be here for you. And he's there as Father. And finally, the fourth pillar of courage, it brings us back to the pure word of God. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So God has a plan. God has the power to fulfill the plan. He's given you the promises. He's there with you. You have the presence of God. So those first three pillars. And now you will note in verse 7, the word prosper. Verse 8, prosperous and success. Three words. You remember last week's message, desperate for direction. God had a plan. Moses was tempted to trust in the eyes of the Midianite Hobab. It was a weakness that Moses had. It was this lack of trust and a struggle with obedience to the word of God. And you know, that's really where we are so often. We're often just like Moses. We struggle with trust. We struggle with obedience. In fact, sometimes when you're young, you know, and especially as kids and you're growing up, you think about the Bible and you think about all these things and you go, I don't like it that there's so many rules. I don't like it that there's commands, that there's things that we are supposed to do. And I mean, it feels like I'm being restricted. I tell you, they're not there to restrict you in any way other than that which is good for you, to fulfill the plan of God. They are there for your protection. They're there because you need them. They are there because you need the guidance. You need the word of God. If you're going to walk through the plan of God, there are going to be times where you are tempted to deviate, where you're tempted to go off in your own direction, where you're tempted to do something other than what God has called you to do. And you need the word of God to keep you straight. And you will notice with me in this passage the warning. Do not deviate. Don't go to the left. Do not go to the right. And what's at stake is success and prosperity. And listen, I'm not talking about a financial prosperity. It's referring, actually, if you look in the Hebrew, it's dealing with the word wisdom, to act wisely. When you are into the word of God, you're going to act wisely. And that wisdom of God will lead you to success in the plan of God. But you need the pure word of God. God's word to you and I today, be strong, be very courageous. I don't know that I can remember a time during the ministry where I've ever heard so much tragic news as I have over the past maybe 3 weeks, month. People that are hospitalized, a friend that is terminally ill, others that are gravely ill, numerous deaths, all in a very short period of time. And I know some of you are dealing with some very difficult times. I believe that this word is for us just as much as it was for Joshua. God preserved it, and the example of this story for our own admonition, to understand that we might live and that we might walk and that we might experience the very courage that God wants to give to each one of us. And we need that courage. We are up against forces of evil, as the song said. A mighty fortress is our God. Why? Why do we need that mighty fortress? Because we are faced with evil all around. If it were not even the personal and the personal struggles and the tragedies that we deal with, we have an enemy in this world. And he will attack you continually with fearful thoughts. He wants you to walk this life afraid. And God, on the other hand, says, no, in my plan, I want you to walk this life with courage. Be strong. Be courageous. For I'm with you. You've got my promises. You've got my plan. You have my presence. You have my word. Be strong and be courageous. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning, and it is your word that we need to hear. You have brought each of us to this place so that we could hear your word and that we would be encouraged, that we would be strengthened. Though we recognize our weaknesses, though we recognize our failings, though we recognize our failures in life, we surrender to you, and we surrender to your plan. And if there is any here this morning who have deviated, who have wandered away from the plan of God, may they come back. For we have a forgiving, loving Father. We thank you most of all for that relationship through Jesus. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except by me." And it begins with your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, we are surrendering now our lives, our circumstances, all that we've endured, our hardships, the being hit on the head as the nail as it is accomplishing its purpose. Oh, Lord God, we need you. Bless all who have come. May they experience a sense of relief this morning as they recognize that you have a plan and that all the power of God is with us. In Jesus' name, amen.